From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes.
But where it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along. Calvin is on the board, Greg Bach with me in studio, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789. You can call and or text. If you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave comments there as well, and we encourage you to do so. All kinds of things coming up today. Our very own Civic Media's Luke Mathers is here in the Waukesha studio, so he is going to join us coming up at 10:30, and then an hour to 11:33, talking sports with J.R. Radcliffe. And some people will love this, some people will hate this, but there's a lot of buzz about Sunday night's Packer game, and it might not be for the reason that you think.
I'm so excited. This might get me to watch football.
Oh, well, that's big on Sunday night, so we're going to be talking about the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks and many things with JR next hour. To start off, though, we wanted to talk about math is hard.
It is.
It is hard.
Woofers.
I've always had a difficulty with math. I am not a math whiz by any stretch of the imagination. This is why I do what I do, because I find math challenging. Apparently, I am not the only one, because Lauren Bobo Boebert, the Republican representative from Colorado, in a hearing yesterday with a Social Security Administration official, and she wanted to talk about employee productivity.
Yes.
And whether or not the Social Security Administration is doing a good job of keeping tabs on employees when they're working from home.
And she did it, I must say, and this is very, very interesting, she did it in such a respectful tone. I really felt like the person she was speaking with felt valued for his opinion.
Are you being sarcastic?
Absolutely. I'm in a spicy mood today,
okay.
Jane.
All right.
Spicy.
We do have a little sound clip.
Yes.
From this hearing yesterday. Calvin, are we ready to go with that? Let's take a listen.
You all are allowing delinquent employees to sit on their sofas at home instead of actually getting to work and doing their jobs. This is absolutely unacceptable.
They are connected to the workplace, whether they are in the office or at the home.
Then why is the backlogs for Social Security applicants increased from 41,000 to 107,000?
Because we've been historically underfunded for a number of years now.
I don't think you're underfunded. You're funded at the Nancy Pelosi levels, at the Democrat levels. We just continued that same funding.
So I would say
at pandemic level spending.
So I'd say we have an increase of over 8 million beneficiaries over the last 10 years. At the same time, we experienced our lowest work staffing levels at the end of FY22. That's a math problem. I mean, that is a problem. If you have those workloads, you know, increasing and you don't have the staff to take care of those workloads, you're going to have the backlogs that you're talking about, Representative.
Now, I want to say in full context, that clip is about 2 minutes long. I cut about a minute out of it, but the reason why I did that is I cut out him speaking on all of the ways they are connected as Social Security employees, teleofficing or
right.
Telework, and
all the checks that they have on these folks.
You can go listen to the whole thing. It's nothing cut out for context other than just they are working, they are doing their job, and they are and the bosses above them are making them accountable. Everything she's doing, it's just so disrespectful. The interrupting, she had to go bring out the Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat, the pandemic. It's like you're just swinging at the greatest hits, and you just look like an idiot with every single statement.
Well, I mean, people on Twitter just went off.
Oh.
Just went off on her. And again, this Social Security administrator, I think, made a really good point. Social Security has seen an increase of more than 8 million beneficiaries over the last 10 years, with the lowest work staffing levels ever at the end of fiscal year 2022. And those numbers, as far as Social Security Administration beneficiaries, those numbers are only going to continue to rise more people like my age start retiring.
25?
Oh, yes. In my dreams.
Yeah.
I start retiring. And this also goes back to previous conversations we've had about funding for the IRS.
Mm, yes. Yep.
And the long wait times and the, you know, taxpayers not being able to get anyone to answer their questions. I spent 90 minutes a couple weeks ago on the phone with the IRS and didn't get anywhere.
I mean, this is the thing is every time, whether it's, I refer to her as Bingo Boebert, or a Matt Gaetz or an MTG. Anytime they sit down in their committees and they get on their high horses and they start pointing the finger at somebody who knows exponentially more than they do, they always look like fools. And they always, I mean, and they embarrass their party. They embarrass us as people and they embarrass the people they represent. I would like to think they do at least.
But I don't, for someone like Boebert, I don't think that she believes she had gotcha. They believe they have gotcha points. I'm going to get you.
Yep.
I'm going to get you with this. And even though this, in our estimation, backfired on her yesterday, I think she got out of that committee hearing and her staff was all high-fiving her going, good job. You really, you showed him. You really put him in his place.
And that's the question I have is, and if anyone can direct me, I mean, I'll do my own research, but how many times has this worked in their favor versus not? I've never seen even a Fox News or a Newsmax or anybody who says, here today, Representative Lauren Boebert did X, Y, Z.
Held him to the wall.
Held him to the wall. And you watch it like, oh, yeah, she really brought it to him. She really looked for information. It's always just taking the biggest shotgun she can find and shooting herself in the foot with it. And I'm using a gun reference because it works with her. I've seen her Christmas cards.
Yes.
But it never works in her favor. And I'm wondering, is there any staff saying, maybe don't?
No. Because I don't think...
They have to be surrounded by yes men.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. I don't want anyone who's gonna go against, you're going to do what I say.
Yeah.
And you're going to do what I want.
I mean, if I was running against her, I would just run clips of her saying, this is the person you voted for. What has she gotten you?
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack. Good morning, Jack. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Just that the chronic underfunding of governmental service agencies has not ever been a problem caused by the Democrats. It's been caused by so-called compromises in the budget that have been reached that would allow it to get through, you know, something like the filibuster in the Senate, things like that. These are the same people that are whining and moaning about our huge national debt and our annual deficit, gave away a few years ago $2 trillion to the richest and the richest corporations. They're trying to defund the increase in IRS personnel that go after not you and me,
right,
but the largest tax cheats. And studies have shown, I think, what is it, for every dollar you fund something like that, you get back as a 7 or 8 in new monies that go to the federal treasury. I mean, you talk about totally disingenuous. These guys are unbelievable. You know, they're whining about the poor service on Social Security, and yet, like was said, they're not funding it appropriately. The funding has, compared with the real cost of living, it's probably gone down 10 or 15% in the last 8 years or so. I mean, these guys are unbelievable. And the problem is, people, you know, this is math. We don't do math. We don't do math on the radio, as someone once said. But the problem is, many people just don't do the math and they don't realize what's happened.
Absolutely, Jack. And I've got some other numbers, too, that I wanted to share with folks, because there was another GOP representative talking about what a failure the Biden economy is and how much better things were under the former president. Under Donald Trump, The economy lost 2.9 million jobs. The unemployment rate went up by 1.6% to 6.3%. The international trade deficit under Trump, which he promised to reduce, the trade deficit in goods and services in 2020, the highest since 2008, up 40.5% from 2016. Under Trump, the number of people lacking health insurance rose by 3 million, and the federal debt held by the public went up from $14.4 trillion to $21.6 trillion. And I think you're right, Jack. I think a lot of people just, they hear the numbers that they like, and then that's what they're going to put forward as the fact, right?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. The sources like Business Insider and the Wall Street Journal, neither of which is exactly a far-left extremist publication, have pointed out that the economy is you know, just looking extremely good yet. Businesses aren't looking at layoffs. Real income is up. This is something that they didn't mention, but something that is probably attributable to the Biden administration, that is, unionization is up, which is one reason why incomes are getting a little bit higher again. Of course, corporations are seeing the highest profits that they've ever seen.
Yeah, life is good if you're a corporation, boy. They were able to jack prices up during the pandemic, and remarkably, they've never come back down. Jack from Miramax, thank you so very much for calling, Jack. Really, really appreciate it. Math is hard.
Yeah, it is. I have a few more things I'd like to say about it, but, you know, don't have the time. But, you know, with regard to, I'll say this, with regard to cuts and eliminating things, I have thoughts on those. We can come back to it.
All right. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to check in with us. Stay close. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I used to think that I was stupid because of all the things that you said, but I was being too hard on myself. Because some of the most brilliant minds can't even draw a straight line, and that's completely fine. So be sure to give yourself a rest, because you can always be the best. And I'm the worst at math. I'm bad at math. I'm bad at math. I'm so bad at math. And I don't understand.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789. Shout out to our folks in Racine who are listening on WRJN, also in Wausau on WXCO. We were talking about the fact that math is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, Colorado Republican Representative Lauren Boebert questioning a Social Security Administration official on whether or not their employees are actually working, and just basically implying that they're all lazy and no one's doing their jobs. Mm-hmm. And he had to point out to her that the Social Security Administration has seen an increase of more than 8 million beneficiaries in the last 10 years, while they had the lowest work staffing levels ever at the end of fiscal 2022.
Yeah.
So that he said that this is a math problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is a math problem.
They always, and the thing is to leapfrog the math problems, they always just make huge sweeping action items. So, like, you know what? I don't doubt that the federal government is huge.
Oh,
don't doubt there are tons of redundancies and things we can, you know, hey, this form and this form, they can be made into one form. Hey, this office can be blended in with this office. Would people lose their jobs? Possibly. But there are ways to look at every single one of these departments and making small cuts that would actually do something. But instead, what the Republicans on the Hill always do is say, kill the Department of Education.
Kill Social Security.
Kill Social Security. It's always these wide sweeping things that are just like, no, that's like saying, oh my gosh, Greg, you got a hangnail. Let's cut off your leg. I just don't understand it. And it tracks with people too.
It does.
Because it's so simple. It's so candy-esque. It's so shiny and sweet. It's easy to digest instead of saying, no, let me actually talk to you.
Because it's very complicated.
Oh, my gosh.
844-967-2789. Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. What do you think?
Good morning, Jane. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. Second, I wish Joe Biden, I think it was the best moment of 2023, was when he had the State of the Union address, or the address, and he said to all the Republicans, when he said that the Republicans want to cut Social Security and Medicare, and they all were like up in arms, he said, okay, well, let's have the debate right now if that's the case. And I think he needs to do a little bit more of that. Put them on notice. Tell them, you know, be the person that's going to use his age as an actual asset and say, hey, you know what? None of you will have your earned benefits cut on my watch, which is, I think, what he said. But I think he just needs to keep on saying that. And people like Lauren Boebert and people like that can start to explain themselves why it is that they would like to cut our earned benefits that we paid into the system on.
Well, and this goes back to something that I've griped about for a long time is I dislike the way they use the word entitlement because it makes it sound like something that you're getting for nothing.
Yeah.
Right? It's an earned benefit. We have all paid into this program all of our working lives. Am I entitled to it? Yes, but I guess the way that it's used, again, makes it sound like, well, you didn't do anything for it.
Here's a weird question. If you are underage, under 18, do you pay Social Security on your wages? So I have been paying into Social Security since I was 12.
Wow.
That was when I got my first paid check job, not cash on the table.
Oh, wow.
I was a paper boy. I was employed by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, or about that time it was Milwaukee Journal.
Right.
So I agree. Like that, I've been paying it for 35 years. And you're going to tell me that one, it might not be there, and two, you want to cut it? I will sue you for that money then.
Good luck doing that. Thank you so much for the call, Tom. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Texter on the text line. When folks say the economy is good or bad under so-and-so, I feel like the first question should be, how do you measure the strength of the economy? Because statistically, you can always find data to support your position, depending upon how narrow you want to make the view.
Absolutely. And we talked about this many months ago, about how it's just easy to say, well, the economy's trash. Well, no.
There's so many different factors.
There's so many factors, but when it comes down to it is, how is job growth? How is inflation? How is the deficit? How are we combating all those? How are we working on all those things to make sure nothing is getting in the way of and sending us to a recession? If we have job growth and we're not near a recession and there's quarterly growth every single time, then our economy is doing good to great. Okay. But they want to take all these good points and be like, it's still trash.
And again, don't forget, our corporations are doing very, very well.
Oh, they're counting their money.
They are counting their money.
I don't know why I did that.
Which is gonna trickle down.
Can't wait.
Any decade now.
If you're listening on the live stream right now, or you're watching on the live stream, you can wish it's just gonna come crashing through all that cash, folks.
Oh, it's just we're gonna need umbrellas.
And as I'm pulling myself up by my bootstraps, it's just gonna all come down crashing on my head, and I can't wait to spend it on extra cheese on your Whoppers.
All right. Well, if we have time for one call, Dave from Mequon. Real quickly, Dave, thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Really quickly, there's a couple things. One, and I mentioned this on your old show this morning, if we don't make any adjustments whatsoever in the current projection, there is automatically going to be a cut, a substantial cut, in less than 8 years to both Medicare and to Social Security. We'll still get something, but it's going to be a vastly reduced amount, by like I think 20% roughly. That being said, One thing I think that frustrates me is that Social Security, now my father had over, well, close to like 60 years of putting in the Social Security, okay? And during that time, now obviously he's collecting, but what really ticks me off more than anything is he gets taxed on it. It's double dipping. And the federal government, oh yeah, here we go. You get your Social Security, but we're going to tax
right.
it again.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, be careful how you know, when you look at it, the government is literally confiscating money that you put in for all those years along with your employer. Now, if you're self-employed, you're both obviously you're doing double the FICA taxes, because that's actually what I've been doing for the last 25 years. And to turn around and then have the government do that, how dare they?
Yeah. And Well, that's about all the time we've got for that, Dave. Thank you so very much. Really appreciate you checking in. 844-967-2789. Also, you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Just a reminder to download the wonderful Civic Media app.
It's really lovely.
It is a lovely app.
It looks nice.
It's very useful, and you can call or text directly from the Civic Media app, so please download that. Coming up, Luke Mathers, our very own executive producer here at Civic Media, going to kick some things around. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And a very special guest that we really don't get to see very often. Civic Media executive producer Luke Mathers is here. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jane. Thanks for having me on the show.
Always nice to see you. Always nice to have you as a guest. I want to do a little housekeeping before we move on. We were talking about Lauren Boebert from Colorado.
Heard of her? I have. Is there another Beetlejuice? Did you say her name three times? What happened?
No, she, in a hearing with the Social Security Administration yesterday, she basically accused all SSA employees of being lazy and not doing their jobs. And, you know, it's terrible. Why is there such a backlog? And he explained, well, we had 8 million new beneficiaries in the last decade. And yet their staffing was at the lowest level ever at the end of 2022.
Sounds very similar to the unemployment insurance problems that we had here in Wisconsin, where there was a lot of people criticizing the system not being able to get out those benefits in time. But
and why was that?
It was a very archaic system. It hadn't been updated in 3-4 decades. They were running Windows 94 or something like that.
it
was bad. Yeah, it was really bad. And they're like, oh, why is nobody getting their benefits? And it's like, oh, maybe we should update this system and put it to the cloud and actually use technology. But that requires funding.
Right.
And
it takes money.
There's certain individuals that don't like to fund government agencies being able to do their jobs.
Well, and because then they can point to the current administration and say, you're not doing your job.
And at the end of the day, too, who wants their money? It's just people who don't want to work. So they don't need their money.
Not like they paid into it or anything
No.
It's not like it was a rainy day fund.
Which takes us back to Social Security. Uh-huh. This kind of spilled over into Social Security and the funding of Social Security. And Dave, a caller from Mequon, had joined us and justifiably said, you know, his father has been paying in for 60 years, finally taking his benefits, and now he's getting taxed on those Social Security benefits.
Okay.
And Tom from L.A. pointing out on the text line, Ronald Reagan began the tax on Social Security.
Yeah.
Congress passed and Reagan signed into law the 1983 amendments. Under this amendment, up to one half of the value of the Social Security benefit was made potentially taxable income. So if you want to blame somebody.
Well,
it's important to ask the why did this happen and when did it start happening. And questions when you're upset about this.
And who instituted it?
Well, the only thing I would like more information on this. Was it Ronald Reagan who instigated it? Or was it the Democratic Congress back in the 80s? Because the Democrats were on the show back in the 80s.
That's an interesting question.
So it may have been them who proposed it.
Yeah,
and said,
Tip O'Neill.
We will delve into this.
So I'm. Once again, I am not defending Ronald Reagan, but there's a lot of times where we say, well, he's the president. He's signing the bill.
He's responsible for everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That is a bygone era of the comedy that you would have between a Democratic House Speaker like Tip O'Neill and a Republican president like Ronald Reagan.
Shaking hands going, how you doing, Ronnie? Doing good, Tip. Nowadays, they can't even be in the same room. No.
Seriously, without almost getting into a fist fight.
Or getting primaried.
And that's within their own party.
I was just saying, that's infighting. That's exactly. Intra-party fighting.
Yeah. So. All right. Lots of things shaken up in Wisconsin today. A Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard announcing she will campaign for Dane County Executive.
Yeah, she's leaving the state Senate after, this is her first term.
Her first term, and elected in 2022.
2020. 4-year terms for the state Senate. So I remember that was the first election in the height of COVID when we were very uncertain about how things were going in 2020. Melissa, I think Senator Agard did a tremendous job running in a campaign in Dane County. Like, there was a lot of uncertainty for that election in 2020. And going on the ballot then, leaving the state assembly, leading in the state Senate as the minority leader. I think she's been a tremendous public servant, and as a Dane County resident, I'm pretty excited that she's gonna now go into the running for Dane County Executive. But I think the state Senate loses out on it, so that's a pretty big loss.
Dane County wins.
Yes,
not so much the Democrats so much in the Senate.
Are there any announcements you want to make today, Lou?
No.
There are several names, though, who are jumping in for that spot.
All right, let's hear
them. Senator Dianne Hesselbein and Senator Kel DeRoyes will be running for Senate Democratic leader as early as next week.
For the Democratic
leader.
Leader.
Yeah, okay.
In the state Senate. So that'll be interesting to see who steps up to lead that party in the state Senate. It's not the... I don't think it's the most ideal job for a lot of people. It's a very, very... gerrymandered minority in the state Senate for Democratic elected officials. So it'll be interesting to see, though. But with the state Supreme Court hearing the redistricting case and what the potential could be for 2024 maps still, that makes it a little bit more appealing. So I think it's important to keep a focus on who will be leading the minority party in the state Senate going forward, with Agard announcing that she's stepping down.
And I'm trying to remember who it was that said being in the minority is never any fun.
No. It's
got to be so just frustration on a daily basis.
There's got to be a lot of people quoted with that, because I got to assume that anybody in the minority party anywhere
why do I even go in?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, because again, we're away from that bygone era of comedy, where comedy, as in being able to come together and agree on things, even when you are not on the same political persuasion and trying to get stuff done. And that's not something we see anymore. Hopefully we can get back to those times. I think having more competitive districts, if there is a way that the state Supreme Court is going to decide on the state's maps, could help lead us to that. But as of right now, we just see Robin Voss and then elected Republican officials in Madison focused on making sure the libraries send out notifications to parents rather than, you know, address the looming issues the state faces.
Seriously.
You talking about good old Robin 16% Voss?
Is that his most recent polling?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's his approvals rate?
I mean, he is the popcorn king. All hail. But that's 16. I want to get him a jersey that just says 16 on the back. Yeah. Yeah.
But it goes back to I believe that most Wisconsinites do want to see that comedy come back.
Yeah.
They do. They want people.
And why?
Because Wisconsin doesn't respect people who cheat.
Yeah.
We don't like cheaters.
Yeah.
And I believe, with all of my heart, that the vast majority of us want to see compromise so things actually get done.
Yeah, we're a 50-50 state. There should be a lot of agreeance and then that compromise needed to be able to get things done. And for far too long here in Wisconsin, we've seen it. We've seen a system that is set up for certain thresholds where it's baked into the cake. Yep. Republican elected officials are going to get more representation in Madison than Democratic elected officials. It's just the case. And the maps that we currently have been studied. They've been litigated many times over to be not what constitutes with state law. And it's going to be interesting to see how this state Supreme Court decides on it.
We've been the ultimate example on, you know, terrible maps. Like it's great when Wisconsin, like, well, look at them.
It's worse.
They're awful.
Yeah. It's worse.
Yeah, we could be as bad as Wisconsin. You never want to be that.
Oh,
that
yeah, well, Bucks
there.
And six, whatever.
But speaking of Robin Voss, isn't there another big ad buy that's coming aimed at him to, again, remove Megan Wolf and impeach Janet Protasiewicz?
Oh, I've missed that part. Yeah. So that
there's another round that's coming. They're not done. Going after Robin Voss.
Well, I have a feeling that he will come out and strongly say, I will not let the media bully me into a decision, and then change his stance on it.
The thing is like, that's the problem is like with him, he can be like, I don't want to do this, and he gets bullied into doing it. And then he does it. And then he's bullied into not doing it. Cause I feel like I'm not jealous of Robin Voss and where he is right now, because even just 2 years ago, he was just so powerful and then worked with impunity.
Yes.
And now it's a matter of like, he has the craziest of his party saying, you got to do this. And he's like, I guess I got to do this. And then the ones who are a little more level minded, like, no, you got to do this.
What are you
like,
doing?
What are you doing? You idiot. Sorry. I was playing a character who was calling Robin Voss. I wasn't calling Robin Voss an idiot.
Portraying someone.
I would never call Assembly Speaker Robin Voss an idiot. This fictitious person did. But that is a terrible place to be, because honestly, at this point, I don't see him surviving another election.
Well, he barely survived his most recent
primary.
So, yeah, and that was a primary. Yeah. Well, that's the only place that Wisconsin elected officials have accountability is in primaries, because we have so few competitive districts.
Right.
Like, there have been a few off examples where there have been flips in the current maps, but the most likely scenario is either a Republican or a Democratic candidate getting primaried, and that's how they get ousted rather than losing in a general election here in Wisconsin. And that's not a Democratic process. Like, little d Democratic process of voters being able to pick who represents them rather than the politicians being able to pick who votes them in. It's a system that needs to be updated here in Wisconsin.
And it's something I would think, again, that I think we all agree for the most part.
Yeah, large majorities of Wisconsin.
Large majorities agree.
Yeah.
And that's evidenced by the overwhelming win of Justice Janet Protasiewicz, I think, from last April.
The question I have, and this is for, you know, like, because you know that, you know, what's-his-face is probably going to run against him again in a primary, Brian Steen?
Sure. Honestly, I watched that primary happen, and then I haven't thought a whole lot about it since.
But
so
I
couldn't tell you who he lost to.
I'm just wondering if there is sensible center-right candidate out there in that district who are like, you know what, I'm not going to kowtow to this because the crazies can win, but they don't win on policy, they don't win on know-how, they don't win on expertise, they win on crazy.
Well, they win on extreme.
Yes, crazy. But my point is there a person who's just like, hey, I'm a business Republican, I like less government, I want to, you know, is there someone who can run against him in a primary on the other side who's just not that MAGA crazy, who's just like, I want to bring the sense of compromise back, the idea of working together. Is that possible? Is it? I don't know.
Well, we haven't seen any moderation in several years now.
There hasn't needed to be.
It's very well. No, there has. I think everybody could agree there's needed to be
from a liberal sense point of view. Yes.
No, I think there's a lot of middle of the road Wisconsinites and Americans across the country that just want to see some common sense government, but because of the way that we have the system set up right now,
yes,
it's been pulled to the extremes. And the problem is it's only pulling farther to the extremes, because it's going to be an interesting 2024. The primary season is here before we know it. Like, already less than 90 days away, I think, is the Iowa caucus. No, less than 60 days away is the Iowa caucuses. Middle of January is the Iowa caucuses. Like
and,
we're,
and so it begins.
That's a yes, month and it's like coming. It's coming up fast, and so it is. Yeah, less than 50 days. I got so many.
Math
calendars.
Is hard.
Yeah, it's I'm focused more on the end of December and everything before January, quite. But it's still looming back there. It's like, you know, this is coming, so you should be paying attention to it.
I think my point was not that it wasn't necessary. I think Robin Voss has done a good job of placating and selling himself as the center Republican, appealing to what is a center Republican in this day and age.
Maybe. I guess I don't know. Yeah. I haven't thought about it from that framing point.
I think about Robin Voss more than most of my family, so this is something.
That's probably not good for you.
Not my dog. I think about my dog more, but
2024 is here. Like we're having all these discussions. There's polling, there's presidential primaries on the Republican side. There is the caucuses are coming, and we've already seen rules being changed to all of a sudden have in the Republican primary, which it seems like former President Donald Trump is going to run away with it, but we don't know until votes start happening, which has been my kind of stance on it the whole time. The polls can say a lot of things, but until people start caucusing and voting, that's what it's going to determine. But quietly throughout 2023, Republicans have been changing the way that they conduct their primaries, because that's who conducts them, it's parties.
Right.
And now there's a lot more winner take all. So if there's a 50% threshold, which Donald Trump is the current only person that could pull that kind of threshold, according to the polls, it seems like he's going to have a lot more winner-take-all and run away with this primary before it's even really started.
We are going to continue this conversation, and then we're going to do a quick episode of Who's the Sphincter? So stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In the crib, ma. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get at you.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Calvin on the board. What was that, Calvin?
That was Snoop Dogg.
Got an attitude.
That was Drop It Like It's Hot by Snoop Dogg. It is a teaser for the Who's the Sphincter story.
Oh, nice. Caught me by surprise.
The way you said that, I want to just hear Calvin on every hip-hop station around the country just be like, that was Drop It Like It's Hot by Snoop Doggy Dog.
Okay.
All right.
We were talking about some of the changes that have been made to the primary process.
Yes.
And I would imagine that this is essentially just a way to sew things up for Donald Trump.
It seems like his allies and state parties around the country have done a pretty good job of
that,
teeing it up for him. And it's not in just like the Democratic process, and there's a long history of primaries and parties helping determine how, and then the Democrats have their own problems with the delegates versus superdelegates, which has been a huge point of contention for that party's primary process. But the Republican Party has, for quite some time now, leaned more favorable to winner-take-all primaries. And so the fact that we've seen now, quietly over these last couple of years, even a larger emphasis on winner-take-all, it was one of the reasons why in 2016 Donald Trump was able to pick up the nomination for the Republican Party as quickly as he did then, and because he was able to have the non-Trump coalition of Republican voters was split between so many different candidates that Donald Trump continuously had the plurality. And in the cases where it was in a state that took winner take all, he was able to take all of the delegates, even though he was only winning with 33, 35-40% of the vote.
Wow.
Now he has even a larger share of the vote after serving as president for 4 years and going on essentially campaigning for 2024 since he lost in 2020.
He's been campaigning since 2021.
Before that.
No, I'm sorry. I take it back. He's been campaigning since 2017.
He was holding campaign rallies in the Rose Garden.
Yes.
Like at the White House, which was unprecedented at the time. And it's just like, oh, that's just one more of the unprecedented things that all of a sudden we have presidents doing now.
Yeah.
But the fact that quietly these Republican parties in Massachusetts all the way to California have changed the rules, there's going to be a lot more delegates at stake for a winner-take-all setup next year. And it seems like you have a lot of these people that are like hope casting or wish casting that maybe there's going to be some alternative that will resurrect, as you've pointed out, be the moderate Republican Party, say Nikki Haley. I don't think Ron DeSantis is the moderate
candidate
is there
Haley.
Either. Well, but
she's trying to paint herself that way. Yeah.
Yes, that's the way that she's presenting herself to voters. And say somebody other than Trump, I don't think there's going to be that somebody, because the way that the state parties are now going to hold their primary process for the Republican nomination, there's going to be a lot more winner take all. And Donald Trump is going to be the only person that can really qualify for that threshold that's going to be needed to ensure the nomination next year.
We just have a couple of minutes left, and I want to get to this before Luke Mathers has to move along and go do other work related things. But Elmo yesterday. Okay, Elon Musk.
Oh, I always forget that's your nickname for him.
Was being interviewed at the New York Times Deal Book Summit, and the interviewer asked him about the rash of anti-Semitic comments that are showing up on Twitter, and I could tell immediately on my feed as soon as he took over the difference in material and things showing up on my timeline. And so he was, advertisers have been fleeing Twitter because they're showing up next to these anti-Semitic comments and they don't want to be associated with that. And Elon basically said that they can all go F themselves.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't need you.
And if Twitter implodes, it's going to be their fault.
It's the advertisers' fault for not advertising.
Well, it's the people calling for the advertisers' boycott. It's false. And so he wants to blame those people and the advertisers that then follow suit and pull their advertising from Twitter. For following the boycott, that would be their fault as well. And then he had some, ask the world, and then he's like, well, who's the world? And it was like, well, the people are the world. And it was a strange interaction. And it's obvious, it wasn't FCC friendly, so it's not the best interview to play over the air.
It would be challenging.
There would be a lot of
editing. Lots of editing.
Yes, we'd have to edit that
Many
together.
Edits.
But very just doesn't seem like an even-handed approach to running one of the larger social media companies.
And
here,
I have to say, every time I hear him speak, I don't think he's that smart.
A little condescending to the reporter.
I think he's a douche waffle. I think he grew up extraordinarily wealthy with all kinds of privilege. I'm not saying he's a moron, but I don't think he's this laser brain that he gets so much credit for. The one thing I will give him credit for is when the first SpaceX rocket blew up and they called it, what was it? Unscheduled rapid disassembly.
Yep.
Yeah, that deserves a prize.
That's one of the best euphemisms for an explosion that I think I've ever heard.
It went boom.
when he bought Twitter, it was $44 billion. It's now worth, they say, probably an estimated $4 to $6 billion.
Isn't that mind blowing?
I mean, and the fact that he owns it outright, it's like there's no board, I think, anymore, because he just bought it. It's privately owned.
I don't know how the intricacies of how it works now. I'm begrudgingly still on the platform, but I haven't kept a very close eye on it.
I call it now X More because that to me is saying he is the one who's ruined this. When you call it Twitter, for me, I don't care what anyone else does. When I call it Twitter, I think of the old days when I was on Twitter and it was fun. X is like the post-apocalyptic
time where Twitter was fun, but
I just always found it useful because that's where news would.
Oh yeah, exactly.
But where everything showed up.
When you call it X now, it just sounds like a post-apocalyptic hellscape of misinformation and bitterness. But I'm still there, so follow me at I am Greg Bach.
Let's just call it an internet hellscape.
I like the word hellscape.
Hellscape. Yeah. We'll just call it hellscape.
There you go.
I can go with that. All right, Luke Mathers. Thank you so very much.
Absolutely,
for
Jane.
Joining us. Really appreciate it. Stay with us next hour, 11:33, talking sports. Something big happening Sunday night in Green Bay.
Ooh.
And it might not be football. That's all on the way. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.